Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. I'm Manuel Feit, he's Stefan Bienkowski. And Stefan, how's it going?
Yeah, very well indeed. Looking forward to another Champions League week after some utter chaos in the Bundesliga. But just nice to have domestic football back.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's also nice because I am actually at two Champions League fixtures this week. And then a Europa League fixture as well. So I'm first doing Bayern Munich tomorrow. It's an early fixture. It's two early fixtures back to back, 6:45 each, German time. And then I'm in Freiburg for a late fixture, 9 o'clock against Nantes. So full slate of games this week.
It's now a good time to kind of announce to subscribers that our extra podcast will be a late one on Wednesday after the Dortmund game.
After the Dortmund game, and maybe even from the stadium in Leipzig, depending on how things go, because I have to do mixed zone and all that, so I might just find a quiet spot. But yeah, that's a good time to announce it. And also, I have to also say, people really love the match recap from the Friday game. The feedback on that has been very positive. So, and I think going forward, the two of us, when we are at games, I think we're going to do it more often.
Yeah, I think people seem to really enjoy it. It seems like quite an old-fashioned thing. It seems like match reports aren't that cool anymore, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of people still quite like them, especially for a league that does its best to not get broadcast around the world.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I guess, the recap kind of fashion with your own thoughts, which are actually a lot of fun to write because it gives you a lot of article ideas down the road. But I mean, as I said, it doesn't always work. It depends on storylines in the game, and obviously, the Friday game had a ton of storylines going in and a lot of storylines going out. So that's probably the first game we should start with after this break, right? Yeah. All right. So let's get started with that right after this. This episode of the Gegenpressing podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. Football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag, betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, BLEAV to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, Bayern against Bayer Leverkusen, the Krisen-Derby. It was over quite quickly. I pointed out in my last newsletter that if Bayern and the German national team want to end their crisis quickly, they just need to play Jamal Musiala as much as possible. And the kid proved me right. One assist to create the first goal, scored the second himself, and then assisted the third. I would say that's a job well done from a 19-year-old playing for Bayern Munich. Other than that, Bayern Munich perhaps ending their crisis early with their 4-0 win over Leverkusen, or should we go with the narrative that they put out post-game that it's maybe still a little bit too early because the team that they were playing wasn't really resisting? What do you think?
Yeah, how nice is it that Bayer Leverkusen can just offer themselves as like a nice palate cleanser to these teams that struggling to pick up form? Mm. Yeah, this just looked like another car crash from Leverkusen. It was always going to be one of two things, I thought. Yeah. It was either going to be Bayern bounce back or, you know, Leverkusen take advantage of them. And I know that's me basically covering my bases, but with Leverkusen, there never seems to be anything in between. There's never just a dull 0-0 win, or not dull 0-0 draw, rather.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you know, again, it feels to me like the moments between Hradecky's clangers are getting, like the time between them is getting shorter and shorter. Mm. To the point where we may just reach a constant where he's just constantly making clangers, because it felt like he did it once a season or once every two or three months or something. Now it seems like it's happening every 2 weeks, so or even just every game at the moment. So it just summed up. I mean, I know you can't really blame a goalkeeper for getting thumped 4-0, because and I think two of the goals, if I'm not mistaken, were kind of deflections anyway. But he was obviously at fault for the last one, Thomas Müller's goal. But he's been so...
And Musiala's too, I would say. Yeah. It's beautiful that was in the build up, and as great as his shot was, and from it was a difficult shot to take, it does kind of go through him.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And he's been doing this all weekend, really, and all season rather.
Yeah.
But it's just he seems to be constantly at fault right now. I'm well on records in this podcast as saying I don't think he's good enough for Leverkusen. I think some of the club are also well aware of that, and it's a constant debate within the club, because I think he's actually quite well liked as well. But I'd also add Jonathan Tah to that list as well. I think the two of them for some time now actually probably held Leverkusen back.
But
it is what it is, I suppose, you know, and I guess no one really expected Leverkusen to go down to Munich and cause an upset, and they didn't.
Well, I did think that if they would be well enough organized, that they could probably take something from Bayern. And there were still times where this Bayern Munich side did not look like they were still completely out of the crisis mode. It was just that they had a perfect start, and then they got an assist by Hradecky. And, you know, on that topic, it was really interesting what Fernando Caro, the CEO of Bayer Leverkusen, said at Doppelpass on Sunday. It was that it can't be that a goalkeeper of Hradecky's class keeps making mistakes as often as he does. That's a public statement that's out there now, right? And then post-game, Hradecky was the first out of the dressing room, straight through the mixed zone. People that are not aware of German football, right? The players all have to go through the mixed zone to get to the bus. And the Allianz Arena is quite brutal because the mixed zone. You've been there, right, Stefan? Have you been there before COVID? Before it was open again?
At the mixed zone?
The Allianz Arena?
Oh, have I? I think I have, yeah. I've been once before, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like the one side is for players from the away. So when you stand on, there's a huge gate, the players all have to come out of this gate unless you're Thomas Müller and you know the secret exit. And they have to walk past this. There's always four or five guys from Bild, at least three from the Abendzeitung, two from TZ. There's this guy from Transfermarkt that's usually there as well. they all hang out, and we're all kind of like vultures waiting to get our quotes, right? And you have to go past the media. You have like You have no way to get out of it unless, again, you're Thomas Müller and you decide to go across the pitch. But Radetzky was the first out, nothing to the media, nothing at all, straight to the bus, and sat in the bus for about an hour and a half before everyone else was out there. None of the players spoke. Simon Rolfes came out and did speak, and he said that we'll have to change everything, and the only good thing about this game is that we're playing against again on Tuesday. And that sounds a little bit like a final then for Gerardo Sione.
Yeah, I think so, to be honest with you. I think, excuse me, from what I was told kind of in the lead up to this game, the Bayern game, this was almost like a free hit for him. You know, there's no real expectation on the club to go and, you know, pick up a result against Bayern Munich. And despite everything that's happened this season, you know, despite it being like their worst start to a campaign ever or something like that, there's still a lot of goodwill towards him because it's clear that he has a very good technical head coach, you know. So, you know, the way someone put it to me actually recently was that even if they are forced to sack him, they're well aware of the fact that he'll probably bounce back and be a very good coach somewhere else because, you know, something just isn't seem to be working right now. But obviously he has to pick up results. And the way that Schalke played at the weekend would really make you think this is an easy fixture. I guess there's no real easy fixture in the Bundesliga, but it's just about as easy as you can hope for as Leverkusen. And if he doesn't pick up all 3 points from that game, I'd be very surprised if they're not asking themselves some very serious questions.
Yeah. I think for them, maybe it comes down to making some changes on the pitch. Radetzky is one, right? And I mean, you are talking about this not being a final. I mean, we all had that impression, but I think the decision makers still were quite shocked on how easy it was for Bayern to turn over this Leverkusen side. I think it was exactly the game that Bayern Munich in many ways needed. I mean, other than Jamal Musiala, everyone at that club has been searching for their form. And, you know, Sadio Mane will be delighted about this goal, but that was quite an easy goal to score. There was no pressure on him whatsoever from Leverkusen's defense. And so this is, as you said, this is a good one for Leverkusen, for Bayern, because it kind of builds them up. But you look at that performance by Leverkusen and you would just say, okay, well, you can lose in Munich, fair enough. You know, that's happened to other teams, but it can't happen to you, not in this way, right?
Sorry, say that one more time, Manu.
It can't happen to you in this way. I know you're watching highlights in the background. That's great.
No. Do you know what? I'm not. I clicked on it by accident and it started playing so loudly and it completely drowned out what you said there.
It's a sign that I have to stop talking. But anyways, I do sense that, like, I guess my final thought is, they were okay with losing there, but they were not okay the way it happened.
No, of course not, yeah. And that's kind of the issue, of course. You know, it's one thing to kind of lose a match on paper, but it's another thing if it doesn't seem like the players are actually making an effort or, you know, seem to be working towards something in general. So that's probably more concerning, but I don't know. I was kind of had high hopes for Schalke this weekend, but they haven't really worked things out against Augsburg and... They could prove to be a perfect kind of turnaround for Leverkusen.
Yeah, the modern news is today that apparently Kramer could be the next one on the chopping block.
Which is something a subscriber suggested to us last week and we weren't entirely sure, but there you go.
Yeah, it could. Apparently there is internal issues between the squad and Kramer. So... they have their own little final, I guess, at the moment. I just, you know, I'm looking at Leverkusen's squad at the moment and I'm seeing there if you could, like, maybe put someone else in goal, but you really can't because that position is thin at that club unless they have some wunderkind in the youth setup that I haven't heard of. They're probably going to have to address this somehow. Yeah. So not good times at Leverkusen. Great times for Bayern, though. Sadio Mane scored. Scored two, actually. Had one chalked off towards the end because, you know, that's just how it is for Mane. At least he wasn't offside this time. Musiala, once again, brilliant. I mean, that kid, watching him live is even better than watching him on TV. Yeah, and I think that, you know, overall, I think that was a really, really convincing performance. And I think it's going to quieten things down just a bit. And I think if they get the job done against Viktoria Pilsen, other than them all having COVID, which the club today had to tell their players, or on the weekend had to tell the players, no more Oktoberfest visits for you, because that's where everyone is getting sick. But yeah, Kimmich sick, Müller sick, Neuer just recovered, I think, right? Goretzka just recovered. So I don't think their win against Viktoria Pilsen is going to be jeopardized by all of this, but yeah, still interesting kind of development. But I think other than that, you know, it's not big news because everyone just seems to be elated that they've finally gotten their first win after going winless for four games.
Yeah, and it also kind of turns the kind of narrative around for the Dortmund game next weekend. Yeah. Where last week we were saying, you know, Dortmund are on the ascendancy, you know, the cherry on the cape could be if they kind of take result off Bayern. Now, Dortmund obviously kind of stumble against Cologne and they've got some players missing. I think if I'm not mistaken, Royce is now missing, Cobell's now missing for the midweek game. They're waiting to see if they'll be fit. And it could be like could already be a foregone conclusion. Going into that game, if these players are still unfit or if Dortmund are still struggling. So
yeah, I got a lot of flack midweek from US soccer fans because I suggested that Gio Reyna shouldn't have gone. Still think that was idiotic. In this stretch of games, you know, how can you send some of these guys to their respective national teams? It's just, you know, I it baffles the minds. This is not even something just centered against the US men's national team. I think in general, like, unless you're playing a competitive fixture or qualification game, like why do you have to do this right now? I understand there's a World Cup and all that, but the form that you're having right now is not going to impact you in a month's time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, quite the opposite. You are in danger of injuring some of your best players. Like, why are you doing this? I just don't understand, right? And then especially when you're picking up kids that are kind of on the cusp of regaining fitness, like, wouldn't you want them to just train with their respective teams?
Yeah, you know, and it's even more so with Gio Reyna, who's just had the most unfortunate luck. It seems very, very bizarre. It's maybe something that he does feel quite passionate about. He wants to be part of that. He wants to obviously be at the World Cup for US men's national team.
But he's going to be anyways if he's fit. He's the best player.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but he also has to kind of get into that team. He has to kind of work, make sure the coach is okay with him and he fits into the tactics and the formation. But I completely agree with you. It's just baffling. And Dortmund could really have used him at the weekend. He's one of the few players in that squad, I think, who can actually really, you know, fill in for Marco Reus when he's fully fit and in form. And they definitely missed him against Cologne.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to Cologne, but you cannot lose a game like that. And this is what frustrates me about the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich did everything in their power to give Dortmund and all these other teams an assist to sort of maybe walk away with a few points. And I mean, Bayern Munich might not be out of the woods yet, and maybe Dortmund will surprise us and win next week. But, you know, this is the time when you give yourself a cushion if you want to challenge for the title, if you want to challenge Bayern Munich. And it just seems a good time to put up a run, and they didn't. And I think that's the frustrating thing about that result.
I mean, I kind of saw it coming a mile off. I think I said in my predictions, I predicted a draw for that game.
Yeah.
If not more so. And I thought it could have very easily gone in for Cologne, as it did. And you know, it's something I've been kind of saying for quite some time now in terms of this Dortmund side. If they just don't have a playmaker, you know, if you kind of look at the pass maps for Dortmund in that game, they've got Julian Brandt, Bellingham, and Emre Can, who obviously Emre Can came on for Ozkan, but you look at the way you look at who Brandt's passing the ball to. His biggest passer is Rafael Guerreiro, or it's Bellingham, you know, or it's Meunier. He's not really, Brandt's not really passing the ball further up the pitch. You know, the same goes for Bellingham. Bellingham's biggest passers are Thomas Meunier, and then, you know, it's then who else? He's got Rafael Guerreiro, Brandt. So these guys are passing to each other, but there's no one really. There's no one in that. There's no real kind of number 10 in that team, in my opinion. Marco Reus aside, and the fact that they're still relying on him so desperately after all these years is deeply troubling, I think. I mean, obviously, Jadon Sancho was in there at that point, and he was the guy who would get assists and make something on the wing. And maybe they're kind of hoping that in time, Daniel Malen and Adeyemi can become those guys, but it just seems bizarre to me that they still haven't really, nothing seems to have clicked in that position, in those central midfield positions. As good as Jude Bellingham has been, you know, and as good as he is, and he once again showed that in international break for England, just like how far he has come at Dortmund. So he is improving, he is developing at the club. But, you know, I did kind of say, I wrote a newsletter at the start of the season saying, Dortmund desperately need Bellingham to kind of develop into a playmaker, because that's the one position they just have not bought any cover for. And it right now it's biting them in the ass.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think that, you know, they, when I was in Dortmund and talked to some people, they were obviously hoping that Gio Reyna could develop into that role and then medium term replace Marco Reus. I think there's also hope that he would stabilize physically, right? It's a little bit like Arjen Robben, who also had all these issues at that age and didn't really get it together until like his mid-20s at Bayern. Even then, he was still quite injury prone. Some people are just like that, I think. And, you know, Gio Reyna has all the skill set to be that player, but you have to be fit for more than 5 minutes actually play there. And I look at this squad, I'm having it right in front of me, and I couldn't tell you who's going to fill that role. If Julian Brandt, I think, was it you or Stefan Buschko who tweeted that, like, poor Julian Brandt, who now has to play as a number 10 for, what, 4 games in a row, because Gio Reyna is out with an injury from the international break.
Yeah.
Because he's not that player. He can't, he's not.
But what is Julian Brandt? That's the question. What is Julian Brandt? Because he was a smart winger at Leverkusen. That's how he came through. He was a smart inside forward, if you want to use that term.
Yeah,
he could go by players, he could create goals, he could score goals. And over the last 5 or 6 years at Dortmund, he's just been kind of used as this kind of handyman around midfield. And He's capable of moments of absolute brilliance. He's capable of things in that team that I don't think really anyone in that team can do to an extent, at least since Jadon Sancho left, in the way that he can kind of play 1-2s and move past players, but it's just not good enough. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just don't understand. I feel like the Dortmund looked at that squad in the summer and said, right, we're going to sign these forwards and we're going to sign these defenders, and I just have no idea why. Maybe it's because they couldn't see past the shining glaze of Jude Bellingham in that midfield, and they thought, right, well, he's obviously going to play every game, which absolutely he should play every game. He's a good number 8. But they just completely overlooked that the need for someone to be pulling the strings in that team. And so, it's not Julian Brandt.
Yeah, you know, so there is a best case scenario for Julian Brandt. And I'm not saying, before everyone starts screaming at the radio or their cell phone or whatever they're listening to, this podcast too, there is a best case scenario for Julian Brandt. And there is a player that I remember who kind of played as a winger, as an attacking midfielder, and they tried him in all sorts of positions. And then all of a sudden, Joachim Löw, Louis van Gaal put him on a number 6. You know who I'm talking about? Bastian Schweinsteiger. Remember when people thought he was a winger, and he just wasn't fast enough to be there. But, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of him.
Yeah.
So that's a best case scenario. You know, yeah, Julian Brandt grows up overnight, discovers all his playing skills, becomes very dedicated to his job, and has a coach that can actually tell him to play that position, because Louis van Gaal is a brilliant head coach. People don't like him. A lot of people don't like him. I know he's controversial and all that, but he's brilliant. He's an absolute brilliant head coach. Dortmund are not coached by a Louis van Gaal.
No. And I mean, the difference between Brandt and Bastian Schweinsteiger, like technically they're probably quite similar actually, but yeah. The difference is that mental fortitude.
Yep.
And Schweinsteiger obviously has that. He had that
He didn't have that in the beginning, though. I mean, Brandt is... I had to look this up because I couldn't believe that myself, but he's only 26.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the difference between coming through as a player at Bayern and coming through as a player at Dortmund. There's the institutional or cultural expectation that you go on that pitch and you get shit done. And, like, my kind of lasting impression of Bastian Schweinsteiger, and it's obviously, like, the way he was towards the end of his career, but he was a guy who would walk on that pitch and he'd walk off with like blood stains and bruises. And, you know, as well as being an outstanding passer of the ball, he's a guy who got stuck in, and I've never seen Julian Brandt as that player.
Yeah, but you have to remember like that happened in 2010 when he was coached by Louis van Gaal. And again, yes, he had the right mentor to instill that into him, but you know, before that, it was him, it was Schweini and Poldi for many years. Schweinsteiger and Podolski, right? And they were doing all sorts of funny things at Bayern Munich. Like, Schweinsteiger smuggled in his quote-unquote cousin into the whirlpool at Bayern Munich when he was younger. You know, he did that kind of stuff. Like, there was a time when he was also kind of laissez-faire. And it wasn't until Louis van Gaal basically told him, it wasn't like a choice, he told him that this was the role he was going to play. And that's when he kind of developed into this player. And I mean, I'm saying again, this is best case. And I don't see anyone at Dortmund to take on that kind of mentorship role. But, you know, maybe they're just... this comes down again to leadership, doesn't it? Yeah. You need two things at Dortmund. You need a coach who gives players exact directions of what to do. And the other thing that they maybe need, and this comes back to your point that they need a playmaker... Maybe they also need a squad planner.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, like, and I mean, the problem here isn't really that Julian Brandt isn't good enough or that Gio Reyna can't stay fit. The problem is that Dortmund still rely on these players to be players that they clearly haven't been for some time. The fact that Dortmund are relying on Julian Brandt to be consistent or they're relying on Gio Reyna to be fit for an entire season is the club's fault. It's not these players' fault. Yeah. And they do need it. They do need a squad player. And you know, I was actually chatting to a chief executive at Bundesliga club last week, and I was running past him my theory that I've spouted on this podcast a number of times that, like, you know, Bundesliga clubs are too interested in buying young players, developing these squads that look good on FIFA, and there's not a real market force that's pushing these clubs to turn around and say, well, actually, maybe we need to sign more kind of like grizzled veterans who will put a shift in. And he's like, yeah, there could be something to that, you know, and you can see it at the top three or four clubs in the country outside of Bayern. You can see it at Leipzig, even though they do have some senior players now because that project's been going for some time. You can see they do lack a degree of fortitude in that team. Dortmund, I think it's quite obvious. I think it's quite obvious at Leverkusen as well. And those are three clubs that are pushing, that should be pushing Bayern in the title. So I completely agree with you. Dortmund are very good at kind of identifying exciting young players who, you know, will get Premier League scouts very excited, but when it comes to doing the real hard work of building a squad that can win things, they seem to be coming up trumps time and time again.
Yeah, you know, Sven Mislintat, who did it for Klopp, might be free soon again. Lots of trouble at Stuttgart, so maybe that's a guy that they need to bring back. I think it's a topic that's going to be with us for a while. Hey, what do you want to talk about next? Should we talk about Werder Bremen or Christopher Nkunku?
Let's do Nkunku because I wrote my newsletter on Bremen and people can go read that if they want to know about Bremen.
Okay, sounds good. So Nkunku is going to Chelsea, apparently.
Well, apparently he's not.
apparently he's not going to Chelsea.
Florian Plettenberg has just tweeted saying, yes, Chelsea want him. Potter and Boley are pushing to sign him, and there were negotiations. Deals can happen, but we've been told again, no pre-contract with Chelsea, and the medical should have been private. No officials from Chelsea took part. So he's disputing if any deals in place and whether Chelsea were even at the medical.
Yeah, David Ornstein, of course, today reporting in the morning that Chelsea have a pre-contract, that there is an exit clause, and that Chelsea are willing to negotiate with Leipzig ahead of time to sign Nkunku for more money than the exit clause that I've been told doesn't exist. So we're getting a lot of very different information on this.
Yeah. And can I just kind of jump in here and say that none of this makes any sense to me, in the sense that if Chelsea had planned on, signing Nkunku, if he's been someone who's been on their radar for some time now, why didn't they bring this up when Leipzig were trying to sign Timo Werner? The obvious answer to that question is because Nkunku wanted to stay at Leipzig this season to get game time and to get into the France squad. I completely understand that. But there's no reason why Chelsea couldn't have said, right, okay, the player wants to stay there for game time this season, but, let's hammer in some sort of clause in the Timo Werner deal that we get Nkunku, So it just seems very odd to me about how that this wasn't part of that. And, you and I have been talking about this throughout the summer, actually, just because we've been covering the Premier League transfer market for some time now. Yeah. And the way that Chelsea's new owner has kind of gone about, not so much signing players, but it's almost as if he's announcing, or the club is announcing, that they will be signing players before anything goes through. It happened with Josko Gvardiol, and it might now be happening with this deal as well, if Florian Plettenberg has managed to pick up an interesting scoop there.
You know, what I think it is, and I've been talking to people at Leipzig about this, we were baffled at first when the news came out, because it was very different than what they thought it was, which plays into what Florian Plettenberg said, right? I know him personally, he's a very reliable source. But also David Ornstein is a very reliable source, which tells me that different people are telling different people different things. And that happens in this business. At the end of the day, I don't think journalists are lying. This is why I hate disputing, going on the show and say, this guy is putting out the wrong news. It's like, no, he's reporting what people, reliable people, are telling him. Don't blame the journalist for telling you this. We are not making this stuff up. Someone is telling us that. And if this information isn't right, it's because the source is not giving you the right information, or is giving information that they perceive as being right. And I think this is what's happening here. I think that David Ornstein is being told one thing, Florian Plettenberg is being told another thing. And we all know that at Chelsea, there is an owner who's also now operating as a sporting director, who's brand new to the sport, who has handed out information in the past that was simply not correct.
Yeah, it's almost like he's led to gung-ho with...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's him. We don't actually know if it's leaking these things, but it does seem as though someone at Chelsea throughout the summer has been leaking stories before these deals are over the finish line, and that could be the case with Nkunku. But having said that, if it does go through, it makes perfect sense for the player. He's obviously done all he can at Leipzig. Leipzig have clearly prepared for him to leave as well, with not only Timo Werner, but Benjamin Sesko coming in next summer. And I'm sure they'd be happy to pick up a handsome fee for him and to move on. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. The only person that should really be worried, and if you're a US football fan right now, you should be paying attention to this, because I think not only will it push Hakim Ziyech out of the club, I also think we might see Christian Pulisic move on as well if this does go through.
Oh yeah, he's absolutely taking up that spot. Because someone was suggesting my timeline that we're veering off a little bit of topic here. And we're not really, because we're talking about Nkunku. And there's probably a lot of Chelsea fans tuning in on this and wanting to listen to this. But I think Kai Havertz is a very different profile and would probably actually do quite well playing with Nkunku.
Yeah, he's more of a kind of number 10, I think, Havertz, or like a false number 9.
Yeah. If anything, it would actually help him, because it would actually allow him to play the way he wants to play. Mm. And you could actually see the two of them operating together in a front two. Mm. Way more than you could see it, way more even, although they were very good. I mean, we have to talk about the fact that they won this weekend 4-0, and both Werner and Nkunku picked up 2 goals each. So he is someone who can play in a two front line quite well. It's a developing story, I guess. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll probably have a lot more on it on the midweek show, because I am in Leipzig and I can work my sources a little bit there, and we can find out a few more things. And I don't want
our man on the ground.
Oh,
our
man.
roving reporter.
It's time that, like, next November is your turn. You're going. I need some sleep. I am going to try to find some things out. I always like visiting Leipzig and the stadium there and the games. And the city is actually quite lovely as well. So. And Champions League football is something very special. And I'm playing again, this game is against Celtic. So, you know quite a bit about them as well. But yeah, Stefan, I think we leave Werder Bremen maybe for the midweek.
Of course. So anyone who's a subscriber will hopefully have my newsletter in their inbox by the time this comes out. But if you're not, go subscribe and give it a read, because it's just a real kind of joyous celebration of how much I've enjoyed watching Werder Bremen this season, and hopefully that it will continue.
Yeah, and I can stop bothering you sending Niklas Füllkrug articles to you saying that you should be playing in the national team. I think he should. I think if you have 26 places in your squad, you should be calling him up. Why not?
Yeah. There's plenty of podcasts between now and the World Cup. I'm sure you'll get your chance.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. It's late on a Monday night. We're recording this late. Because there's a lot going on. Where, as I said, I'm on the ground covering games. I think that's it. I think we covered everything. For more content, please head to our newsletter, Substack, whatever you want to call it, and subscribe. We've seen that a lot of you have been interacting. I will probably have some post-match stuff for you again this week, because we can see that you guys like it. And so if you want to access that, it will be in the newsletter. And this podcast, if you're not listening to it on our newsletter, is brought to you by BetOnline. And other than that, Stefan, any final words?
No, not at all. Just looking forward to the Champions League stuff. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Yeah, sounds good. Until then, auf Wiedersehen. In Sicht.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.